She was also smutty, and knew more about the world than almost anyone else I knew. She had spent her younger years traveling across Varenya and beyond its borders. She told me many stories of the lands to the east, where people spoke in a language that sounded like dogs barking. When she'd gotten lost there and somehow ended up in a three-way with two men who had 10-inch dicks, while a volcano rumbled threateningly in the background. She said they couldn't understand each other at all, but one didn't need to understand when one could allow the body to do the talking. Sometimes I think Mama's full of shit, but I wouldn't put it past her to have been spit-roasted with lava nearby. She's just that type of person. And here she was, sitting behind her massive desk, regal and proud and intimidating as all fuck. Well, to most people, I guess. Not to me. Mostly. She wore a blonde wig, cut short and severe around her face. The pale skin of her face was immaculately covered with makeup. The rouge dark on her cheeks, her eyes smoky, lips red and shiny. A tight black corset pushed up her chest, the illusion of breasts so well done that it was impossible to see that they were fake. I never asked her how she did it, how she made everything look so real, because she told me that a lady, like a wizard, never revealed her secrets. I never asked her for her real name, and she never told me. She would always be Mama until she said otherwise. And she towered over most men. She called herself the tallest woman in captivity. I told her she seemed freer than anyone else I'd ever known. She'd been sad then, for a moment. But like most real emotions from her, it passed in an instant, replaced by a salacious smile, a body innuendo. She was large, callous, loud-mouthed, and brash, and absolutely wonderful. Moisha stood by the door as I walked past him. Ryan dropped his grip from my arm. My fairy drag mother pressed a long fingernail to her lip, the skin dimpling as her gaze locked onto me.
Sam,
she purred, voice deep and strong.
What a pleasant surprise this is.
Mama, I said in greeting. I walked around the desk and took her hand in mine, kissing the back of it. You're looking beautiful, as always. She chuckled.
Don't I? I woke up this morning and thought to myself how wonderful it is that I am able to grace others with my presence.
I kissed her hand again before letting it go. Humble that.
I have no use for humble, she said. Humble means weakness.
I'm humble, I told her. I'm not weak.
You're not humble, she said. Your magic won't allow you to be.
Oh, how she and I danced. Or maybe it affords me modesty. I moved back around the desk. Ryan looked between the two of us, eyes narrowed.
You think so? She asked. How positively illuminating. In my experience, most wizards don't even know the meaning of modesty.
I'm not most wizards.
Oh, how I have missed you,
Mama said, clapping her hands together.
It's been far too long, precious. I don't like it when you're gone from me for too long. Tell me, are the rumors true?
I almost didn't want to ask, but Mama expected me to. She would have her say with or without me prompting her.
And what rumors would those be?
She glanced over at Ryan, the first time she'd acknowledged him since we'd come into the room. And I knew. She could play coy, but Mama never met subtlety. They weren't even passing acquaintances. I didn't think you could be subtle and a drag queen. It just wasn't possible.
A night, then?
She asked innocently, though her eyes gave her away. Night, Commander Ryan Foxhart, I said, trying to keep my voice even. Betrothed to Prince Justin, the future king consort.
Sir,
he said. Then he coughed. Choked, maybe.
ma'am. Lady Mama, your majesty.
Oh my god, I groaned. Mama's grin was full of teeth.
Your majesty? I could get used to that.
She held up her hand toward Ryan. He stared at it awkwardly until I kicked him in the shin. He took a step forward and grabbed the proffered hand, kissing it swiftly before backing away, standing so close our arms brushed together.
"Thank you for having me to your whorehouse," he winced. "I mean, your home, where people pay to have sex."
"Is he broken?"
Mama asked me, looking coolly amused. I frowned at Ryan. "I haven't quite figured that out yet."
"I've never been to a brothel," Ryan said quickly.
"Or met a lady of your caliber."
"You mean with a cock?"
Mama asked. Ryan coughed again. Definitely some choking involved.
"Yes, yes, there's that part too. I've heard of you people."
Oh, gods. Mama cocked her head at him. To most, it wouldn't have seemed like anything. But for those that knew her, Mama was coiling to strike.
"What do you mean by you people?"
she asked. I had to stop the bloodshed before it could start. "He means pimps," Ryan said. "Is that what you're called? Pimps? Brothel owner? Whoremaster? Queen of the fuck palace?" "Queen of the fuck palace?" I repeated. "Seriously? Seriously?" Granted, he didn't say something derogatory against drag queens, which I was thankful for. But I couldn't tell if this was worse. If she was insulted, Mama would most likely cut off his dick and nail it to the wall.
"Moja," Mama said.
"Yes, Mama."
"Please let it be known that from this day forward, my working title for the business is now Queen of the Fuck Palace."
"Yes, Mama."
"You may leave."
Moisha closed the door behind him, but not before he stared at my crotch with his cold eyes.
"I like him,"
Mama told me, waving dismissively at Ryan.
"What? Why? You don't like anyone."
Hi,
Ryan said, standing right here.
"I like you,"
she said to me.
"Well, yes,"
I said, "but I like to think I am a special case."
"You are a special case,"
she said sweetly. "You just insulted me, didn't you?"
"I would never do such a thing,"
she said, folding her hands in front of her. "But Ryan," I said, "you hate the knights, and the government, and the king. You call them capitalist scum who harbor resentments against the proletariats, even though they rely on them for industry."
"Still standing right here," Ryan said.
"And I don't know what proletariats are, but I feel like someone is insulting me. Somehow." Mama rolled her eyes.
"I'm allowed to change my mind about people, Sam."
"You just think he's hot," I accused her, as if this was not a common consensus by everyone currently in the room.
"Yeah,"
Mama said.
"He is like fire. I want him to burn me all over my face."
"Feeling a little objectified now," Ryan said. I scowled at Mama. "That's not gonna happen. You keep your perfectly beautiful grubby fingers off of him."
"Hmm,"
Mama said. "Hmm? That's all you got? Hmm?"
"Just realizing something,"
she said.
"Have you had many of those lately, Sam? Realizations? Realizations?"
"I'm realizing a few things right now," I told her. "And several of them involve you. Spoiler, it doesn't end well."
"And how are you?"
Mama asked Ryan.
"Fine,"
he said, though he didn't sound fine at all.
"Long trip?"
"Not too bad."
"Traveled through the dark woods, did you?"
"For the last few days."
"Have you ever had sex for money?"
Not in a long time,"
Ryan said.
"I don't do that anymore."
He blanched.
"I didn't mean to say that out loud. How the hell?"
So I said, "What?"
"Never mind,"
Ryan said, refusing to meet my eyes.
"I like him,"
Mama said.
"And I don't say that about many people."
"You said it to 5 people," I reminded her. "Me, Moisha, Tiggy, and Gary. And now Ryan?"
"I think I'm being insulted,"
Ryan said.
"Where are Gary and Tiggy?"
Mama asked me. "Outside the city," I said. "We're trying to keep a low profile. Too many people know our faces right now." There's the ego, she said. I rolled my eyes. It's a loud unicorn and a half giant. It's not about ego or subtlety. It's more practical.
Especially when you're coming to see the Queen of the Fuck Palace, she said.
I blame you for this, I told Ryan. All this is your fault. I don't even know what's happening right now, he said.
You're being interviewed, Mama said, for a job.
He is not.
Tell me, Knight Commander, she said. Are you up for a little questioning?
This can't possibly end well, I muttered. And you've already questioned him.
What?
Ryan asked.
What job?
But Mama didn't even give him time to think.
Mead or cider?
Cider.
Oceans or mountains?
Mountains.
Brisket or lamb?
Brisket.
Topping or bottoming?
Both, he said. Then, wait, what?
Sweet molasses,
I whispered.
Well then, Mama said, versatile. Oh my. My day just got far more interesting.
How do you do that? Ryan demanded.
Get you to say things you don't want to say out loud? She asked. Simple. I'm Mama. I can do anything.
I think I've forgotten why we came here,
I said, staring at Ryan.
You're hired, Mama told him. Of course, you'll need to renounce your knighthood, your oath to the king, break your engagement with the prince, and then tell your one true love. You can't be with him anymore.
Won't his one true love know when he breaks the engagement? I asked. That seems to be pretty telling, if you ask me. Mama stared at me.
What?
I asked.
Are you really that stupid?
She asked. Why does everyone keep asking me that?
Ryan, she said, would you care to...
Nope, he said quickly. I don't know what you're talking about. She glared at the both of us.
Really?
I was so confused. What are you mad at me for?
You're fired, she said to Ryan. Pack up your shit and get out.
Wait, what? I shouted at her. You can't fire him. He's the best whore you've... Wait.
I don't have any shit here?
He said. Or asked. I wasn't sure which.
Oh, Mama said. Then it will be easier for you to leave.
I've never been fired before, Ryan told me. I feel strangely upset by this whole thing. Mama tends to do that to you, I said. Strangely upset or uncomfortably aroused. It's almost the same thing.
Are you going to put Moisha out of his misery?
She asked me. If by out of his misery you mean killing him, then maybe, I said. I've honestly thought about it for years.
You know what I mean.
Then no, that would not put anyone out of their misery. In fact, there might be more misery, like tons of misery.
Moisha wants to have sex with him, Mama told Ryan.
He is a wizard, Kink, I muttered.
No, Mama said. He has a you kink.
I grimaced. That's not helping.
He's not having sex with Moisha,
Ryan growled. Mama's eyes gleamed.
And just why is that, Knight Commander?
Because.
Great answer, Mama said. I believed it. Right down to my toes.
You don't own me, I reminded him. Do we need to go through this again?
Again? Mama asked.
Fairies, I said, trying to remember what it was I needed to ask Mama. She tended to suck me into her circular conversation, and I always left without remembering why I came to begin with.
Dimitri?
I nodded. A few days ago. I started to tune them out so I could think. I needed something from Mama.
Everything wants to have sex with him,
Ryan said.
Really?
Mama asked.
Everything. Imagine that.
Dark wizards, Ryan said. Tiny men with wings, fan clubs, dragons, guys with weird ears, because apparently that's so cool, and whatever, you know. We all have ears. Gods.
Huh, Mama said.
And just how much do you want to fu- I remembered, I said quite loudly. I wasn't even sure what they were talking about, but I was sure it could wait. Old clearing. Mama's eyes hardened, and the room felt colder than it had been before. Old clearing, you say? There have been reports. People missing, livestock taken, scorch marks upon the earth. She sat back in her chair. When she spoke next, I could hear the great care with which she chose her words. And so, naturally, you thought of the dragon and the prince. Naturally. Well, Morgan thought of it. We know where the prince is now, we think. Dimitri told us of a keep in the north near the mountains. Where? Tarker Mills. She arced an eyebrow. And you trust the fairy? Trust might be too strong a word, I admitted, but I don't see what reason he'd have to lie to me, even if he's a fairy. He's your ex, Ryan muttered. Of course he'd lie to you. He's not my ex. You were almost married. That was once. This is just fascinating, Mama said. Please continue to waste my time. I scoffed at her. Don't lie. This is the most fun you've had since the last time I was here. I bring joy and wonderment to your life. That's not quite how I would describe it, she said, even though we both knew she was full of shit. There was no dragon in Old Clearing. At least, not from what I've heard. And you hear everything, I said. She nodded. I do. It's one of the perks of being Mama. Shit don't stick, and stories get told. Then tell me a story, I said. She eyed me warily. She stood up and walked around the desk. She wore high heels, adding inches to her already considerable height. They clacked angrily on the wooden floor. She brought a single finger to her lips, in warning, as she moved around us to the carved door. She cracked it open briefly, peering out into the hallway. It was empty. She closed the door again. She turned back to me. Do you feel anything here? She whispered. Any magic that isn't your own? I shook my head. Nothing. I would have noticed the moment we walked into the room. She sighed. Good. Problems? Ryan asked. Sometimes the walls have ears, Mama said. And sometimes the ears are attached to little heads that should not still be attached to their bodies. That's ominous, I said, and confusing. You are ominous and confusing. She smiled at me. Thank you, precious. I've spent a very long time cultivating such a demeanor. Spot on, then. She studied me for a moment. I didn't know what she was looking for, but she nodded and said, Your dragon has never been here. Come again? The dragon has never been to Meridian City, or to Old Clearing. I doubt it's been within days of here. I don't understand. You wouldn't, precious, she said, because none of us do, really. She sat behind her desk and leaned back in her chair. People have disappeared from villages around Meridian City. Men, women, children. Not in great numbers and only within the last 2 months. But they've gone and have never been seen again. Why couldn't it be the dragon, then? One would think if a dragon was attacking a village that it would not have gone unnoticed. I rolled my eyes. I don't need the sarcasm, Mama. Then don't ask dumb questions, precious. Why has no one brought this up to the king? Surely someone would have mentioned it by now. They're scared, she said. The city of Lox is far away. It's only a few people at a time and spread out over great distances. Take your pick, Sam. Any reason will do. Is it just from the villages? Mama chuckled darkly. People disappear every day, especially from Meridian City. Who knows how many others there might have been? There's no census here. Too many people coming and going. I had a customer come in the other day I hadn't heard from in nearly 2 decades. I thought him dead long ago.
Turns out he was just married.
And he's not anymore?
Ryan asked.
Mama grinned.
I didn't say that. And lose that judgmental face, darling. You are obviously in no position to criticize the choices of others, if your words have any weight to them. And besides, you're much too pretty to scowl like that. I changed my mind. You're rehired. You can start right now. Take off your pants so that I may see your cock and know just what a knight commander carries with him as his weapon.
And that bugged the shit out of me. I was used to Mama's innuendos and sexual advancements and had always brushed them off with a laugh in the past. It didn't matter who it was directed to, though once I might have considered throwing a punch when she'd met my father and decided to call him dinner. I would look past it. But this was different. I stepped in between the two of them, like I could block Mama from even seeing him. There was a bit of green and gold that fluttered off to the side, and a little voice said, "Why not? Why not pull it in and turn it into something more?"
Because I could.
"No,"
I growled at her, and she just smiled.
"Now, isn't that curious?"
she said. I felt Ryan's hand come up to the middle of my back. He pressed his palm flat against me and said,
"Sam."
And there was no green. There was no gold. There wasn't the need to think, "Ayuf," and freeze Mama's lungs in her chest. There was only calm and peace, and I was settled in a way I hadn't felt in a very long time. It was warm and sweet, and I never wanted to feel any other way ever again. It was absolutely awful, because it wasn't mine. But didn't I press back into his hand for just a moment? Well, if I did, that would be my little secret.
"We don't have time for this," I said to Mama, voice rough.
I stepped away from Ryan. His hand dropped back down to his side.
"And yet here you are," she said. "A princess held by a dragon in a keep far away from here. But you still bless us with your presence. How delightful, Sam. We've missed you, of course."
"I came because we needed answers. We thought it was the dragon."
"Now you know it wasn't," she said. "It's something else."
"We're done here," I told Ryan. "Mama, thank you. You're most informative. I wouldn't expect anything less." She bowed her head.
"Of course."
I turned and pushed Ryan toward the door. I needed to get the both of us out of here before someone did something stupid, most likely me.
"Sam," Mama said, "a minute of your time, alone."
"Fuck," I muttered. I should have known it wouldn't be that easy. Ryan looked over his shoulder at me, worry marring his handsome face. I shook my head once at him. "It's fine. I'll follow you downstairs. Won't be but a moment." I smiled at him, but it was forced, and I think he knew it. He closed the door behind him, and I took a deep breath, letting it out slowly.
"So," Mama said.
"So." I turned back around and met her gaze, no matter how hard it was to do so.
"Really, Sam? That's what you're going with?"
"I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about."
"None at all," she said.
"Nope."
"Let me tell you a story."
I sighed. "Seriously? A whole story?"
"Once upon a time, there was a little drag queen with big dreams."
"This sounds like it's based on someone I know," I said. Her eyes narrowed. I said, "And no commentary. Got it." She tapped her fingernails on the desk.
"This little drag queen met a man when she was 19. This man was the sweetest man, and he did everything for the little drag queen. He adored her. He worshipped her. He was everything she could possibly imagine. But this little drag queen was ambitious and self-centered and didn't appreciate the man as she should have. Eventually, she drove the man away. She told herself it didn't matter, that she didn't need him, that he was holding her back.
It took her a very long time to realize that he was only holding her up. And when it hit her, she did everything she could to get him back. But it was too late. The man had found another who loved him, as he should have been loved, and they were happy. The little drag queen left him to his happiness and regretted all her choices every day thereafter. I watched in fascination as the mask that Mama wore slipped for just a brief moment, and I saw the man underneath, and he was sweet and kind and scared. But then Mama came back and the nails stopped rapping on the desk. I said, "Regrets are hard to live with, especially when they're from chances lost," she said. "Do you understand?" "I think I do," I admitted. "You're a smart boy, Sam." "Thank you? But sometimes you're an idiot." "I take it back now." "We hide," she said. "The two of us, me behind Mama, you behind your words." I took a step back. "Ever since I saw you, you know what I wanted for you, precious?" I shook my head. She smiled, and it was warmer than any other smile I'd seen from her. "I wanted you to be happy. I wanted little Sam to find something big and wonderful in the world. A love as bright as he is." My old shriveled heart just pounded with it. "You and I are so very different, but not so different that I can't see myself in you." "Self-centered and ambitious?" I asked quietly. Her smile took on a melancholic curve. "Not quite. The ambition, maybe. I don't know that you have it in you to be selfish, but sometimes I wish you did. Because then you'd see what should be yours for the taking." "I can't," I said, because I knew now what she was talking about. "I know, precious. Because that's not who you are. It's not fair. To Justin, to Ryan, to me. Such things never are," she said. "It's not..." She waited. Instead, I said, "I have to go." "Do you?" "I'm not running away from you," I promised her, even though I sort of was. "As if you ever could," she said. "I'd be liable to chase you until your legs tired, and then drag you back to my den and never let you leave." "I'd like that," I said. "Sam, you need to watch your back, okay? I don't know what's out there. I don't know what's coming. But you need to make sure that you're ready for it. If I find out you've gone and gotten yourself killed, I'll murder you. Are we clear?" "Crystal." She stood up from her desk and walked around it, never taking her eyes from me. She towered above me as she put her strong hands on my arms, squeezing them tightly. She bent over and kissed my forehead. A loud smack that itched. "Life is about chances. Unless you take them, you'll never know what they could bring." I nodded because it was the only way she'd let me leave. And I think she knew that. "I'll be okay, Mama," I said. "You'll see." She looked like she didn't believe me. "I hope so, Sam. For all our sakes. Watch yourself, precious. The world has teeth, and wouldn't care if one such as yourself got bit." I turned and left my fairy drag mother standing alone in her office. Ryan was waiting for me at the bottom of the stairs. Moisha was glaring at him, and the other courtesans were watching him with thinly veiled lust and interest in their eyes. He didn't look at any of them, only me. I reached the bottom of the stairs, and he said, "Sam, what I said in there, it doesn't matter," I told him. "Whatever you did, it doesn't matter to me." "I had to get out," he said, looking away, "of the slums. It cost money I didn't have. Favors." I kept my face blank
at the stark admission. He'd hoard himself out so he could leave the slums behind. My stomach felt sour at the thought of it. He told me that I'd been a big reason for him leaving the slums. So, of course, I took it now as I'd forced him into this. It hurt. It burned. Guilt weighed me down, and I wanted nothing more than to put my arms around him and hold him close. To tell him that it would be okay. That everything would be okay. That I didn't care what he'd done in the past because all we had to do now was look to the future. But I didn't. I was getting too close to something that wasn't mine to have. So I said, "We all do what we have to." I patted his shoulder and moved around him. Every step I took hurt more than the one before it. Chapter 16. Oops. The summoning crystal lit up 3 days later. We were on the road to Tarker Mills, and I felt we didn't know much more than we had when we'd started out. In fact, even knowing the possible location of the prince only led to more questions. And if there was one thing I fucking hated more than anything, it was unanswered questions. So I brooded. Gary, Tiggy, and Ryan noticed, of course. I scowled at them and rolled my eyes any time they interrupted my thoughts. Gary told me I was acting like a little bitch. Tiggy said I was being rude. Ryan just looked at me with big eyes that made me want to hug him forever and not let anyone hurt him ever again. Naturally, that pissed me off even more. There were secrets between us all. Well, I had secrets. Specifically, the cornerstone business, and it was itching and crawling along my skin, a low-level irritation that was starting to build. Life was hard, and I felt like whining. So I kept my mouth shut and glared. The problem was that I never kept anything from Gary and Tiggy. And Morgan, mostly. But Gary and Tiggy? Never. And the fact that the one time I did was something as huge as finding my magical anchor was only going to lead to a shitstorm when it all inevitably came out. Which it would. Of course it would. That's just how my life went. And yet, I said nothing. I felt it justified, though. We had a quest to complete. Justin needed to be saved, the dragon defeated, and then we'd head to Castle Freeze Your Ass Off. I could worry about the cornerstone later. And the whole doing magic with my mind thing, there were more pressing concerns. I wasn't in the mood then when the crystals started pinging. "Motherfucker," I muttered. "Are you going to get that?" Gary asked. "Maybe it will help you come out of your 'I'm trying to be a martyr, but I'm really acting like an asshole' phase. The gods only know how much more I can take before I give serious consideration to ending our friendship and your life."
"No killing," Tiggy said. "Even if Sam being a jerk."
"Tiggy, you're supposed to be on my side." Tiggy rolled his eyes.
"Always am. Except for right now."
I dug through my pack and pulled out the crystal. It warmed as soon as it hit my hands. "Hello?" Silence. "Morgan?" A low curse. Not Morgan.
"Hello?"
A voice blared loudly. I sighed because I'd recognize that voice anywhere. After all, I'd once turned his nose into a penis. It's hard to forget something like that. "Randall."
"Hello?"
he shouted again.
"Can you hear me?"
"Very well," Gary said. "Too well. Like you're shrieking?" Tiggy covered his ears.
"Be nice," I whispered. "He's old. He probably doesn't know any better."
"Damn things never work right,"
Randall muttered to no one in particular.
"Hello?"
"Randall, we can hear you just fine."
"I'm trying to reach Sam of Wilds."
"It's me, Randall. You've got to speak into the..." The crystal went dark. We all stared down at it. "Did he just hang up on you?" Ryan asked. "I don't even know," I said. "Shouldn't he know how these things work?" Gary asked. "Didn't he invent them or something?" To be honest, I didn't ask questions.
I said. Morgan handed me a magic jewel and said, use it, and I said, okay. I'm easy like that. And in other ways, too, Gary muttered. What? What? He asked, batting his eyelashes. My heart instantly melted because a unicorn batting his eyelashes, it's precious.
Gah!
I said, unable to help myself.
Your face! I love it!
The crystal started pinging and glowing again. Randall? I said. A voice responded, but it came out muffled and unintelligible. Randall, you've got to move your hand off the crystal, I said. We can't hear you. The muffled voice grew louder and angrier.
How old is he?
Ryan whispered to Gary.
No one knows, Gary whispered back. They say he rose up when the world was created and was formed out of ash and rock, and
he's almost 670, and he was born in a village in the east, I said. His parents were mill workers. Gary scowled at me.
Sam of Wilds!
Randall shouted through the crystal, voice clear and cracking. Randall?
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Barely. These stupid things never work. You kids today with your toys and your crystals and your exploding corn. Back in my day, we didn't need summoning crystals. If we wanted to hear from someone, we wrote a letter and got a response in 3 months. That was considered fast. Now everyone is all about now, now, now. Tell me, Sam, why is everyone in such a rush?
Rhetorical, I muttered to the others. Don't answer it. It will never end.
I heard that, Sam of Wilds.
Of course you did. I sighed. Leave it to him to be able to hear whispered sarcasm.
Don't you get snarky with me, baby wizard,
he snapped.
I know how to turn your little pecker into a chicken, and you will never be able to change it back.
We all gaped at the crystal. Randall? Gary said.
Yes? Who's this?
This is Gary, Sam's friend.
Are you the giant or the unicorn?
The unicorn. I just have to say that you're my new hero. Baby wizard is the greatest thing I've ever heard. And please teach me the chick dick spell. I have to know it. Immediately.
A unicorn tried to kill me once,
Randall said, completely ignoring Gary.
Well, I just tried to kill it myself, but only because it had come down with a case of raging hubris for which there was no cure. I thought I was doing it a favor, but instead I saw it as an act of violence. Of course, this was back in my younger days when I was a bit more fit than I am now. I could run a 3-minute mile and still have enough endurance left over to have relations with...
Nope, I said. Nope, nope, nope. This is not going to be a thing.
The Drummond sisters,
he said, completely overriding me.
Now, the Drummond sisters were lookers, and both of them seemed to be in love with me. And by lookers, I mean you looked at them and said, eh, why not? But given the size of my...
Oh, gods, no, I whispered.
Heart! I could not choose between them. Needless to say, they were extraordinarily jealous of each other. But I made sure to spread my time equally between them, so each of them could have a little bit of Randall. Now, back in those days, it wasn't required that one be accompanied by a chaperone. It certainly made things easier when we wanted to.
It's like we aren't even here, Ryan said in awe.
Go dancing. Now people are so concerned with virtue and innocence that they are blinded to the fact that when people get together, sex happens. We are held by societal standards that the body needs to be covered up, that we need to speak in prim, in proper tones and words. Why, back in my day, clothing was optional. If you didn't want to wear trousers, you didn't have to. It was okay to go out and for everyone to see your...
My stomach hurts, Gary said.
Dedication to freeing your spirit from the confines of rigid morals and ethics that had no bearing on who we were as individuals and as a whole. But I digress. The Drummond sisters were more than willing to step out with me, knowing my position on clothing, and they never had to worry about my... I know where pants now,
Tiggy said, reaching for his waist. Sam, Randall had better be wearing pants when we're at Castle Freeze Your Ass Off, Gary warned. I am not traveling across the country just to have to spend 4 months in an ice castle with an old naked wizard. Tiggy, put your pants back on, I shouted as he ran around laughing, bits and bobs flopping around.
No!
I feel like this is pretty much your lives all the time, Ryan said.
We normally don't get naked this much, Gary said.
You're naked all the time, I said to Gary. You don't wear clothes. By definition, you're a nudist.
Just because I have no body issues, Sam.
I don't have body issues.
Then take off your clothes.
Fine. I handed Ryan the crystal, and my hands went to the buttons on my trousers, unsnapping them quickly and efficiently. I'll show you body issues.
What?
Ryan said, eyes wide. I slid my pants down to my ankles to prove a point. See? I don't give a shit.
Holy shit, Gary said. You've got a gigantic
personality to think I'd ever be okay with dating two women at once,
Randall said, oblivious to everything else.
And so I told them that I...
This wasn't what I had in mind, I said, face flushing, but for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to bend down and pull my trousers back up. I was frozen solid. Gary said,
You certainly are packing. My, my, my. Little Sam is all grown up, isn't he?
What?
Ryan said, eyes glazing over. Are you hitting on me? I squeaked.
No,
Ryan said, flushing brightly. I was talking to Gary. Weird. Why would Ryan think I was talking to him?
No, Gary said. I was merely extolling virtues that I didn't know you possessed. I could never hit on you. You're like my much older, less fortunate stepsister.
Stepsister?
Is it getting warm out here?
Ryan asked, no one in particular.
It feels like I'm on fire.
No pants!
Tiggy shouted.
Hi, people! No pants! Wear no pants!
I looked over to see who he was talking to. There was a group of travelers on the road, 3 men and 2 women. All of them were staring at us with shock evident on their faces. I covered myself with my hands while Tiggy stopped and cocked his head. We fell silent.
And that's how I managed to escape the unicorn, suffering from raging hubris,
Randall finished. After screaming quite loudly and pulling up my trousers as quickly as I could, I apologized profusely to the travelers who had stumbled upon us. One of the women growled at me and called me her little minx before the other woman reined her back in.
You pulled down your pants in the middle of the road,
Randall said through the stone after the travelers had departed.
God, Sam, have you no shame? You represent Morgan and the king.
But... You were naked all the time.
I am not a king's wizard,
he said.
Have a modicum of tact, Sam. You are on a quest to save the Prince of Rhenya from the clutches of a mighty dragon. And you're taking off your pants in broad daylight out in public? I always knew you were going to be trouble, even before you gave me a phallus for a nose.
Ryan said, You did what? You are never going to let me forget that, are you? I sighed.
I had to officiate a wedding the next day.
Ryan said, No, seriously, you did what? I shrugged. The first time I met him, I accidentally turned his nose into a penis. I was young and thought about Dick a lot. Ryan almost fell down. For no apparent reason. He wasn't even walking. I arched an eyebrow at him. You okay? Ryan started.
I don't... Sam,
That pretty much sums up how we all feel about Sam, Gary said. Fond, with strong overtures of horror. I grinned at Ryan. You're fond of me. He started coughing, violently. Fond, Gary said to Tiki.
Fond,
Tiki repeated. What? I asked. They both sighed. Randall, Gary said. Isn't it a requirement for all wizards to be at least slightly self-aware?
One would hope so, Randall said. A wizard must be familiar with his surroundings at all times, and able to pick up on all the subtle nuances from the people and or creatures he associates with.
Subtle nuances, Gary said.
Subtle,
Tiggy said. I scowled at the both of them. You guys are being ridiculous.
Why did you summon me?
Randall asked.
You know, I'm very busy.
You summoned us.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, well then, it must have been important. Where are you?
A few days outside of Meridian City, I said. Headed for Tarker Mills.
And what did you find in Old Clearing?
I hesitated. Then, nothing pertaining to the dragon. Randall was silent for a moment. Randall's silences were not good silences, in that they were calculating. I could hear the gears whirring in his head as he picked up on my evasiveness. But he surprised me when he said,
Well, that's good news, at least. It means the dragon's territory isn't as far-reaching as we thought it would be.
Gary looked at me oddly, and I knew we'd be having words later. Good news, I echoed.
And how long until you get to Tarker Mills?
3 weeks or so. A little less if we're lucky.
Luck always seems to be around you, doesn't it?
It does? He chuckled, though he didn't sound amused. It was a dry, raspy thing that grated in my ears.
You're alive, aren't you? That's more than I would have thought when I first met you.
That's comforting, I said.
Is it? It wasn't meant to be. Simple recitation of fact.
Always a pleasure, Randall.
I wouldn't go that far. I thought there was a good chance you would have blown yourself up by the time you turned 15.
I almost did, I said. Several times.
I still remember the day when Morgan told me about you. It was the day I first got an ulcer.
Do you still keep in touch with the couple you wedded? I asked him innocently. I bet they look back on their ceremony fondly. Or was that question too nosy? Did you just make a pun about giving him a dick nose? Ryan asked me, sounding amused. Gods, Gary muttered. This is so gross to watch.
What is?
Tiggy asked. I'll tell you later, Gary said.
I do, in fact,
Randall said stiffly.
It took years for them to be able to look upon me without horror, but we've managed. It helps that they think the person responsible was lashed with a whip 30 times and then dropped in the middle of the dark woods, dressed only in undergarments and covered in honey.
And why honey? I asked, despite myself.
To attract bears,
he said. That's elaborate.
Revenge fantasies typically are.
You had fantasies about me? Randall, control yourself. I was barely a teenager, you old minx.
Night Commander,
Randall said.
Yes?
I order you to draw your sword and stab Sam of Wilt. Anywhere will do, though I would prefer it in the face.
You seem like the type to prefer it in the face, I muttered.
What was that?
He asked sharply. Nothing. I glared at Ryan as he reached for his sword. And just what do you think you're doing? He looked confused. Sam, it's Randall. He's legendary. And so you're going to stab me?
No,
he said, but what he really meant was maybe.
If you try and stab me, I'll turn you to stone again, I said.
Again?
Long story, I said, eyeing Ryan until he dropped his hand from his sword.
They have stories? Gary whispered to Tiggy.
Long stories,
Tiggy whispered back. I was about to curse them both when Randall said,
Morgan thinks you're keeping something from him.
God damn it, I muttered.
So you are.
Wizards have secrets.
You're not a wizard yet,
he reminded me.
Ooh,
Tiggy and Gary said. People have secrets, I corrected myself.
They do, but not apprentices, especially not to their elders.
No secrets, I said. So many secrets.
Sam?
Randall?
You know I'll get it out of you once you get here, don't you?
You can sure as hell try. He sighed, and then proceeded to say the worst possible thing he could.
Look, if it has to do with this whole cornerstone business, I understand. I do. Probably more than you could ever know. It's hard when the person you want can't be the cornerstone you need.
Everything fired at once in my brain, and I was left gaping at the crystal, trying to say something, anything, to get him to shut up and not say another goddamn word, because Ryan was standing right there, looking at me like he had a billion questions, and I didn't know how I was going to answer a single one. Then I remember that neither Gary or Tiggy knew who my cornerstone was, and thoughts did flood in, and they were all fury and rage, and how many ways I could turn Randall's nose back into a dick so I could castrate him twice. So to make the situation better, I opened my mouth and said, like a boss. Gary narrowed his eyes at me. Tiggy looked surprised. Ryan was confused.
Oops,
Randall said, not sounding apologetic in the slightest.
You're what? Gary asked dangerously.
You know?
Tiggy said.
What the hell is a cornerstone?
Ryan asked. Oh, no, I said loudly. It's getting late. We really should get moving. Long distance to travel, princes to save, dragons to vanquish. Much too late to waste time talking about nonsensical things that have no bearing on our current situation.
Like that's ever stopped you,
Randall said.
You're not wearing a watch, Gary pointed out helpfully. I can tell by the sun, I said through gritted teeth.
It's not noon yet,
Tiggy said.
He's just feeling bashful, Randall said.
I was going to turn all his appendages into penises so I could castrate him multiple times. There would be so much castration. Everyone who saw him would be like, dude, that's probably a bit excessive with how much you're castrating him. And I would turn and say, it will never be enough.
Wonderful, Randall, I said, even though it came out a bit more murderous than I had intended.
In fact, everything about me seemed to scream murder right at that moment, if the looks on everyone's faces said anything about it. This conversation has been most illuminating. I'll be sure to properly thank you upon my arrival to Castle Frisius.
That sounded like a threat,
Randall said. He didn't sound intimidated in the slightest.
Why would I threaten you? I asked. I'm only an apprentice, after all.
Would you look at that?
Randall said.
How did that tunnel get there that I have no choice but to walk into? I'm about to lose you on the summoning crystal. Very shoddy connection. It's getting harder. Can't hear.
The crystal went dark. He just hung up on you again, didn't he? Gary asked. Yes. Okay. Time to go. We have 20 minutes to make up. I think we should do sprints. Silent sprints with no talking, because that would be difficult. I hated the words as soon as they came out of my mouth because I just voluntarily suggested running. Running was stupid, and it did nothing to make a person healthier. It was boring and lame, and I wanted to do so much running right now, as fast as I could.
You hate running, Gary said.
and I hated unicorns. But I didn't say anything about that now, did I? Turning over a new leaf.
Oh? Was it laying on your leaf bed of lies?
He asked. That didn't make any sense. I sounded better in my head, he admitted. Like, devastating, even. I honestly expected tears from all the devastation. I'm not devastated. I'll think of something later, he said. You'll be gutted emotionally, and you'll cry, and I shall emerge victorious. The fact that you are going to actively spend time thinking of ways to make me cry really concerns me. It's not that hard. You cry at everything. I do not. Puppies in the slums with no one to give them food, he said. And they have really big eyes, and all they want to do is go home with you. But you can't carry them because you lost your arms in a factory accident when you were 15. My eyes burned as I said, "You monster!" And that was surprisingly detailed. The no arms thing? Masterstroke. What the hell was Randall talking about? Ryan asked, ignoring our obviously important conversation. And why is everyone pissed off at Sam? That's nothing new, I said. People are usually pissed off at me. And Randall is a crazy old man who lost his mind decades ago. Just drones and drools, that's all he does. You can't believe a single word that comes out of his mouth. What's a cornerstone, then? He asked. Babble and crazy talk, I said quickly, before Gary and Tiggy could cut in. It's an old wizarding legend. It has nothing to do with anything. I don't even know when he brought it up. What's the legend? I shrugged, trying to remain calm and cool and collected, but I almost hit myself in the face with my own shoulder. Just a magical foundation thing. Like I said, it doesn't matter. We should go. No fucking way, Gary breathed. Shit. I glared at him, trying to relay the urgent message of shut up, with my eyebrows. But he wasn't even looking at me. He was staring at Ryan with this newfound appreciation, like he was the most wonderful thing that had ever been created. It took Tiggy a moment to catch on, but then his big eyes got even bigger, and he started breathing slightly funny.
What?
Ryan asked, looking at them warily. Gary leaned closer to him, stretching out his neck until his face was inches from Ryan's own. Their noses almost touched. Ryan, God's bless him, didn't jerk back. Gary started breathing heavily in Ryan's face, and I had no fucking clue what was going on.
I like you,
Gary finally said in a low voice.
Thank you? I thought you already did.
No,
like, I really like you. Before, I was just pretending. I actually think I almost despised you, but now, I don't. You almost despised me.
Almost.
And now you don't.
Now I don't.
Because?
Gary breathed more on his face, nostrils flaring. Then, finally, unicorns are fickle creatures. I don't need a reason to change my mind. It's been done, and you should just accept it and be thankful I no longer plot to murder you in your sleep.
Testify,
Tiggy said.
So now you have affection for me, Ryan said. And you...
I didn't say affection. I said I liked you. Not that I'm ready to pick out curtains. Gods, calm the fuck down. You're engaged to be married. I will not be your dirty little secret. I am a strong, independent unicorn, and I will not take your shit.
And you came to this sudden realization after listening to what are supposed to be the ranting and ravings of an ancient wizard. Not to mention things were discussed in said ranting and ravings that have made all of you strangely cagey. Well, more than normal, and less than willing to answer a simple question.
Gary inched even closer, their noses pressed together. Ryan was going slightly cross-eyed, trying to keep his gaze locked with Gary's.
That sounds about right, Gary said, never blinking.
Ryan flinched and pulled away as Gary let out a particularly loud breath of air. I win, Gary crowed. Unicorn 1, supposed Knight Commander, 0. Tiggy held out his fist. Gary bumped it with his hoof. Are you guys done? I asked.
Sam?
Ryan asked. I averted my eyes, finding something interesting to stare at on the horizon.
What?
What's a cornerstone? Why is it important? Tiggy and Gary looked at me and waited. So I looked at Ryan and said the only thing I could. We're running out of time to get Justin back. We need to keep moving. I turned and started walking down the road, trying to calm my racing heart. I didn't look back. Eventually, the others started following me. Chapter 17. Gary is an asshole, and other stories. Sam? Sam? I ignored him. Sam? I marched resolutely forward. Sam? 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 It was such a nice day outside. Sam! Not too warm. The breeze felt good. Sam? Sam, 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 Sam! Sam, 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 Sam! What? I snarled at Gary.
Hey, buddy, he said.
Hi.
You got something you want to talk about?
No. I made sure not to glance back where Ryan and Tiggy were walking a bit behind us. We were halfway to Tarker Mills, and this was the first time Gary had managed to get me reasonably alone ever since Randall opened his fucking mouth. I'd plotted at least 57 ways that I could kill him, each more violent and gory than the last. I was almost scared how bloodthirsty I seemed to be. But then I reminded myself what Randall had spilled, and I really didn't give a fuck.
So you don't have anything to say at all?
Not a word.
No stone unturned?
Nope. I was able to stop myself before I punched him in the face. Barely.
When I was little, you know what I wanted to be when I grew up?
I don't care.
A stonemason.
Oh my gods.
When I was a wee slip of a unicorn, I went through a rebellious stage. Got stoned a lot.
Gary?
Sometimes when you get angry, your face gets stony.
Gary!
My mother once gave me a piece of advice. She said a rolling stone gathers no moss.
Are you done?
Yes.
No, wait. Did you hear I was sick last week?
I had kidney stones.
Okay, now I'm done. I glared at him. He smiled back at me. We walked on.
So,
he said less than 10 seconds later, because he couldn't drop anything. Ever.
We gonna talk about it?
Nope.
Like, not at all?
Not at all.
We gonna talk about how you didn't tell me?
Nope.
Huh,
he said.
Then, well, I'm going to talk about it.
I would really rather you didn't.
Of course you would, because you're about to feel my wrath.
Gross.
Not like that. Stop making it weird.
I'm talking to a hornless gay unicorn named Gary. It's already pretty weird.
Point. Now, first things first, when are you going to sink your ass down on his cock?
I tripped and almost fell.
Gary said with a frown. Maybe I should have gone with a different approach.
Are you fucking out of your mind? I hissed at him. You can't just say stuff like that. He might hear you.
Gary rolled his eyes. Oh, please. Tiggy is keeping him distracted for me.
You planned this?
You always have to have a plan when you are going into battle.
I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Sam? 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 A week later, I was awakened in the middle of the night by a cold nose pressing against my face. I groaned and cracked an eye open. Big unicorn nostrils right in my face. I could hear Ryan's and Tiggy's snores from the other side of the fire. Gary had been on watch.
What?
I croaked.
What are you doing?
His breath smelled of cinnamon and apples. Apparently it was a unicorn thing to have delightful odors. Sleeping. Oh, yeah. So. I thought of another one. Another what? Did you hear about what happened to the murderers in Falquist? What? What are you talking about? What murderers? He leaned closer and whispered in my ear.
They were stoned to death.
He never blinked. Oh my gods, I muttered, pushing his face as hard as I could. Did you wake up just so you could tell me that? Yes, obviously. Tell me. Fuck off. I rolled on my side and pulled the scratchy blanket over my head. Right before I fell back asleep, I heard him whisper, I'm never going to forget this. You will succumb to the power of this unicorn. I woke up the next morning to a pile of stones next to my head. Tiggy laughed. Ryan's eyes narrowed. Gary said, Wow! How did that happen? Gary wasn't getting what he wanted from me. So 4 days later, he went a different direction. So, Ryan, he said quite loudly, I feel like we don't talk very much. I gritted my teeth, but continued walking down the road. It was a beautiful day out, and I was going to fucking enjoy it. Tiggy was chattering happily at my side about butterflies and bacon, and I was doing my best to pay attention to him. That's because we don't, Ryan said. Well, I feel like that's something to be rectified, since, you know, we'll be seeing a lot of each other for the rest of our lives. My hands curled into fists.
That right? Ryan asked. How do you figure?
Oh, well, I'm sure we'll leave no stone unturned to find the prince. One day soon you'll turn a corner, and he'll be there with a dragon. We'll defeat it and live happily ever after, and Sam will be a great wizard, and you'll be... Wait, what are you supposed to be again?
King consort?
Ryan said. He sounded strained for some reason. Right, Gary said. That was it. I'd forgotten. Forgive me. So, we need to become friends. Tell me everything about you. Your hopes, your dreams. Gary's voice dropped.
Your fantasies.
Tiggy babbled on.
And that bacon we had one time in Castle. Good bacon. Good bacon.
My what now?
Ryan asked. Your fantasies, Ryan. We're having girl talk. If that's too much for you, I can go first.
Please don't,
Ryan said. Okay, we can wait until the campfire later to talk about that. I'll eat some grass, and you can eat your old can of beans, and you can tell me how you like to get tied up and spanked to whatever night commanders are into. I choked and coughed. You okay up there, Sam? Gary called. Just fine, I said, without turning around. That night, by the fire, how are those beans? I heard Gary ask Ryan.
Dry.
Poor baby. So, you ready?
For what?
Girl talk. This one time, I got fisted by a large Selkie named Honest Frank. His name was a bit of a misnomer because everyone knows Selkies lie about everything. That being said, he didn't lie about punching my asshole.
Oh my gods.
Right? It was a most eye-opening experience. Your turn.
Oh my gods.
Ever been fisted by a Selkie, Ryan?
No.
Oh, it's kind of like being with a merman, but less fishy.
I've never been with a merman.
Seriously? What kind of mystical creatures have you been with?
Oh my gods, none?
Really? Gary puffed out his chest. I could change that, if you feel the need. Gary! I snapped. He looked at me, fluttering his eyelashes. It looked amazing. Fucking unicorns. Yes, Sam? Cut it out. Cut what out, Sam?
You know what.
I'm just trying to get to know the Night Commander. After all, he's going to be living only a stone's throw away from us for the rest of our lives. Gary!
Ha!
Tiggy said.
Stone.
I feel like something's going over my head, Ryan said.
Do you feel like that a lot? Gary asked.
Because you look like you feel that way a lot. Missing things that are right in front of you. I know too many people like that. I rolled my eyes. You don't know that many people.
Exactly,
he said. I frowned. I get the feeling you're being a dick.
Oh, you think so?
Quite possibly. Gary looked back at Ryan. You've been working out, right? You seem bigger than you did a year ago. He shrugged. I guess. Gained a stone or two of muscle.
A stone or two of muscle,
Gary said, slowly turning his head toward me. How about that? I threw my jar of beans at his head. We were 4 days outside of Tarker Mills when we stopped in the hamlet of Arvin's Crossing and treated ourselves to staying at an actual inn with a bed rather than another night on the cold, hard ground. There was a tavern in the inn that served strange-smelling fish that made me wish for the beans again. The customers at the bar were in awe of Gary and Tiggy and kept touching them. I kept an eye on them as I poked the fish with a stunted metal fork. I swear to the gods, it blinked at me. I can't tell if this is fresh or has been dead a really long time, I muttered. Ryan made a face. Either way, I don't think I can eat it. He pressed the fork against the fish on his plate and some viscous liquid shot up into the air. He turned a little green as he pushed the plate away. I would send it back, but I think the cook only had one eye and a dirty mustache. You can't send food back to a man with one eye and a dirty mustache. Against my better judgment, my curiosity was piqued. And why is that? He shrugged. One-eyed dirty mustache men are more likely to murder you. Is that so? Done an official study on it, have you?
Past experience.
I don't know what that says about you as a person, that you've had enough experiences with one-eyed men with dirty mustaches in order for you to be able to say that most, if not all, are murderers.
Gay fairy married, he said, voice deadpan. Dark wizards, fairy drag mothers, dragons, magic mushrooms, penis noses, pseudo-elves that want to take your virginity, everyone that wants to take your virginity.
It is a precious thing, I agreed. I can't wait to give it away. He scowled at me. Just hand it off, will you? I rolled my eyes. It becomes a burden to carry after a while. Why are we even talking about this? We were making fun of you.
He eyed me for a moment. Then, before we left, I ran into one of those fan clubs you were talking about.
Oh? I managed to say, as if I hadn't just started sweating like a motherfucker. That right? Ryan nodded.
Yeah. Strangest thing, I'll admit. There was a woman there. Well, a girl, really. She seemed to be in charge of the group.
She wishes. I muttered. That bitch.
What?
Oh, shit. I said, no more fishes because they make me itch. I made a show of pushing the dinner plate away. So how was it meeting your adoring fans? My voice was tinged with what I hoped to be the perfect amount of sarcasm. In reality, it came out slightly strained.
Intense. Very intense. They wanted me to sign stuff like papers and thighs.
You poor dear. It must have been so hard to have everyone fawning over you. He shrugged.
They were sweet. Well, most of them were. There was a guy there.
Oh? I said. I wondered if it was considered okay if I set something on fire to cause a distraction. Like a chair. Or Gary.
Named Mark.